Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
To that, you know, all I want to do is sit and contemplate for a while. It's such a moving song, you know. The musicians have been indulging me in bringing forward a few songs that have been my personal favorites for a long, long time, and that's definitely one of them, because Jerry Rafferty is one of my favorite artists, great guy, and did some wonderful songs. You could say that's a depressing song to a degree, but it's honest, isn't it? It shows all the ways that we can go wrong. You know, we talk all night and we still can't say what we need to say. And yet, whatever's written in our heart is all that matters. And I think that is such a truism for our lives, you know. Because what do we want to be remembered by? It's what's written in our hearts, right, at the end of time. And hopefully it's not all about silly nonsense in the outer. It's about our core coming to the heart of who we are as beings of love. You know, I want love to be written on my heart ultimately, you know, when everything else goes. Jesus understood this, and he gave us one of his most beautiful scriptures, one of his most beautiful sayings, I think, and it's simply what we just heard, really. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, right? So whatever we value is where our heart is. Whatever the core, the essence, the heart of us is dependent on what we value and what we consider to be most important, where our commitment and dedication are on any given day. So I have to check ourselves and say, well, where's all my energy going? Is it going in service of the outer manipulating effects, or am I going to the heart of who I am? Am I remembering who I am as a spiritual being? And having remembered who I am, to notice that in others too, right? Because part of what, when it's written in my heart, I see it written in everyone's heart. That's the whole beauty of this. And so we have to check ourselves on any given day. Where's my commitment? Where's my dedication? Because that's our theme today, is what it means to be dedicated. Give a couple of examples of extraordinary dedication, you know. Eric Clapton, Jimmy Page, when they were young teenagers, and, you know, they're some of the greatest guitarists of the rock era, you know, some of the greatest guitarists ever. For a couple of years in their teenage years, like 17, 16 to 18, something like that, they completely dedicated themselves to learning, and not just learning, but mastering the guitar, right? And so when they walked out from that final day of 18 into the world, they were master guitarists. Now, according to Eric Clapton, he didn't have girlfriends. He didn't have a life. He slept, ate, drank, worked all day on his guitar, right? The girlfriends came later, you know what I'm saying? And there was plenty of them. But, you know, for those days, and what they both said is it doesn't end there. You know, the dedication goes on because you keep learning, you keep excelling in your chosen field, which for him, for them, it's the guitar. I think about elite athletes, right, and their focus. This extreme dedication and energy that they put towards succeeding. True of any artist. It's true of business people. You know? Is it Jeff Bezos, who's the founder of Amazon, right? And for many years, he was neck and neck with Bill Gates in terms of his extreme wealth, you know, $85 billion or something like that. All of a sudden, Bezos has taken off. Now he's into $145 billion, right? Now, pretty impressive, and you can, whether you want to argue, well, should he have all this money? I don't know. But the point being, he started off in his garage selling books, and now he's the CEO, the founder and CEO of Amazon. And so a self-made man, how has he done it? Dedication, must be, right? That extreme focus. And we may say, well, I'm not him, and I'm not Eric Clapton or whatever. But the thing is, we have the same spirit, right? We have the same possibility to put our energy and inscribe it on our hearts, right? Because when we do that, remarkable things happen. It doesn't matter about how wealthy you become or how influential. It's, are you aligned with, right? Are you aligned with the essence of who you are? Or are you wasting time on the peripherals? And when I was thinking about this in terms of dedication my own dedication and what I'm working on right now as leaving the dedication, leaving this particular cycle. Since 1988, I have been pretty much completely dedicated and focused on Unity Fort Worth, right? Through ups and downs, thick and thin, adulation and otherwise. And, you know, it doesn't really matter what's happening out there and all the ups and downs. It's where's your dedication? And I'm still going through this whole thing right now. How does that end? How do you bring that to an end? In a sense, it will not end because this place and all of us are part of my heart. They're always going to be there, right? But there's that sense of ending a cycle, be around 30 years, time to release. But I'm proud of my willingness to dedicate that time to all the things that have happened, because it's certainly blessed me. I've deepened my understanding. I know a lot of people have had their lives changed as a result. We've had celebrations. We've had commiserations. We've done all the things that it means to be a ministry, right? Making a difference in Fort Worth and our world. So it's successful. And our own lives are the same. It doesn't mean it's all perfect. We talked all night and left the words unsaid sometimes. We couldn't get it across. We wanted to say it so bad, and we couldn't express it. Right? You ever been there? When you for some reason or another, you can't get the words out that you really got on your heart to tell somebody, even though you're trying to. And you know if you did do it, it wouldn't be heard anyway, right? So it's better not to say anything. So even though there's those things, it doesn't matter. It's what's written in our heart. What is our deepest intention here? What is our willingness to bring forth? So community is going through transition. In 5 weeks or so, I'll be gone. And then we've got a couple of speakers, and then we'll have our new minister, new transition minister. So let's talk about Nat Carter. Hopefully you got this. If you didn't get this sheet talking about him, you can pick one up on the way out. It's also on the website. Nat will be starting here on March 25th, and he's coming in from Victoria, B.C. That's the ministry he's in right now, and he'll be coming down to us on Palm Sunday. And before he comes, Malone, our dear Malone Ranger, as we call her, she's going to give the sermon on the week after I leave, and then the week later than that, it'll be Daniel Denouville, who's been here before. And then Nat will come. Nat has agreed to be with us for 1 year at least, if we need him, right? And he's been in ministry for 30 years. He's got a lot of experience, both in ministry and in transition ministry. So he's going to lead us through the process of letting go, of healing, of honoring the past and looking forward to the future, and then laying the groundwork for the search team to start, which is members of our congregation, who will search for the right and perfect minister. Unity Worldwide Ministries tell us that it's unwise to choose your next perfect minister straight away. You need a transitional minister. And I like to think about it like a rebound. Okay? You've had a long relationship. You're looking for your next lovely relationship, but it's probably healthy to have a rebound relationship. So you can understand where your head is, what's really going on. Doesn't mean you don't love the person, you know, but it wasn't meant to last. You know what I'm saying? Well, this is exactly the thing. Nat is not meant to last, folks. He's going to be loved on, he's going to be hated, and then he's going to help us get through to the next perfect minister. So I suggest we love on him more than anything else, though, okay? So if you've got questions, we're going to have a town hall meeting on February the 11th for that purpose. We've also talked about downsizing the board, and we voted already tentatively on that at last town membership meeting, but we have to ratify that on in the bylaws, so we'll do that as well. But any questions you might have over the next few weeks, the board was happy to answer them. I am too. But that town hall is definitely for that purpose, okay? So we have some challenges. We have some celebrations. We have got this far. Here we are. We're still alive and kicking, yeah? And we've got a new roof going on, and that's one of the legacies I really wanted to get finished before I left, because it's come to the end here in the last month. But the thing is, 4 or 5 years since we first had the claims, and it's taken all that time for it to come to fruition. So I'm excited that we're going to have a watertight church, because somehow symbolically that's important, doesn't it? We don't want to have a leaky sieve of a ministry. You know what I'm saying? We need to be watertight. So that's good. We're doing that. What else is going on here? Finances are uncertain, folks, and I want you to look at your bulletin just for a second. I don't want to scare the bejesus out of anybody, but it's something that I've been working on for a long time, the board's been working on. You'll see January and December income and expenses at the top of the prosperity report, but then under that, you've got outstanding bills. Our outstanding bills as of next week, 2-4, are $28,000. Our credit card is $15,000. So our total debt is $43,000 as of next week. Now, hopefully, we'll get some money in today and in the coming week. But that's a chunk of change in the hole. So that's something that we need to look at and think about as we go forward, because we have to ask ourselves, will the church survive? Will we get through this? What is our dedication to this? What is our commitment to making that happen? We've had these reverses before. It's not the end of the world. But we have to pay attention to figures like that, don't you agree? If that was at your own home, you'd say, ah! And there's sometimes I feel like coming into work and going, ah! So what are we going to do about it? Well, here's a few things we're doing about it. We're refinancing right now. We have three mortgages. We have two mortgages and a loan line of credit, which we're going to collapse together. Maybe amortize it out over a longer period of time, save some money each month. So, number one, it's more elegant to have one loan than three. Number two, we can save some money. And, you know, it's helps, right? Number two, we've just concluded the new contract with the folks we lease space to across the street, Mabel's and Mops. So one is a day facility for disadvantaged adults. And the other one is a company that runs a cleaning service. That's $30,000 a year. So that contract is good for the next 3 years. So that's $90,000 guaranteed, right? So that's good. And then Yvonne, our event center person, is working to bring more companies, groups, events, weddings, quinceañeras in. We hope to garner about another $20,000 there. So there's $50,000, hopefully, for that. I don't know how much the refi is going to bring us, but we're thinking about $6,000 or $7,000 a year. So that helps. The roof is going on. That helps. What the board would like, and I think they're going to send us more information, is if we could kill the credit card debt, you know, because there's debt and there's debt, right? Credit card debt is bad because you have to pay interest. And the only reason we did credit cards was because we couldn't pay the bills. So we had to use a card. Not the best way, but it's where we are right now. So I would like us to kill that debt before Nat comes, if we can. So look out for maybe initiatives from the board on how to do that. Because I think if some of us gave a little bit of money, we could dissolve that. Yeah, get from under that. And like I say, if you have ideas, town hall meeting on February 11th. For those of you here for the first time, this isn't the typical sermon. But this is not a typical time because, you know, I have 5 more weeks after this week. And then the next 5 weeks, by the way, I'm going to focus on the 5 spiritual principles and what they mean to me and why I'm excited about them and why they're important. So we'll be doing some important spiritual work there. But these things are important too, and they have to be gotten out there if we're going to go through this transition skillfully, right? Because what is it? It's scary, but it's also exciting, yeah? It's the unknown, but then if you think about it, everything is the unknown, right? Anybody got it all worked out? Come and see me after, okay? I could use it right now. So... what do we do about this? And I'm not just talking about the church, but in general, where's my dedication? Where's my heart? Because it's going to be on the things that I focus on and treasure and value the most. And there's levels and levels of this, right? So we have to determine which level of dedication and commitment I'm at. You know, for some people, it's total. I would say Jesus, total, right? Total dedication to his task. And that's why we still laud him and lift him up today, because his commitment was total. Hanuman, the great monkey god of Hindu tradition, the archetype of courage and devotion. You know, he served Rama, the god Rama, with total devotion and overcame incredible obstacles because Rama's wife was abducted by nasty people and taken to the island of Sri Lanka. And Rama didn't have the power to do it, even though he was a great god, couldn't rescue his wife. And so he asked Hanuman, represents dedication and courage, asked Hanuman. It's all symbolic of the forces within our own being. And Hanuman overcame incredible obstacles. But, you know, there's always naysayers. And somebody said, listen, I don't think you're as devoted as you say you are, Hanuman. And so Hanuman takes his chest like that, and he opens up his chest and to show his heart. And on his heart is inscribed the word God. And that's just to show this guy where my dedication is, right, where his dedication was. Now, I'm not saying that we should all... Though Superman does it, but what do you want written on your heart? Ask yourself, what's it going to be? You know, do I want namby pamby, ho hum, who cares type person inscribed in your heart? I don't. I want it full on that I'm committed to love, to the higher way. Right? Do you get it right all the time? Of course not. But you have to ask yourself, where's the commitment? So that's total commitment. Some of us are sort of halfway. I'll commit something, but, you know, not fully. And then there's some of us are going to say, well, I'm not really committed at all. I'll go along for the ride. And that's true in all the things we do in our lives. Some things it's full on. That's what I'm going to do. Other things I might do it, I might not. But in order for this community to succeed, we have to ask ourselves, well, where's my level of a commitment? You know, some of us tithe, for instance. I've tithed 10% of my income ever since I came to this ministry. I know a number of people in the church who do. Some of us don't. Many of us don't. We're not asking that you do, but consider maybe giving 1% or 2%, 3%. Check your income and say, well, what amount would that be? Because we'll be surprised sometimes about, whoa, that's a lot of money. But it makes a huge difference if we do it, right? So there's a dedication to that. How important is keeping this place alive? And hey, if it's not important, then it's fine. There's no guilt or judgment on this. But it's going to survive and thrive not by Nat Carter, not by a few people, but by all of us being willing to take the next step through this interesting transition. Life is problematic, isn't it, as the song says, right? Here's a couple of lines. Talked all night and left it all unsaid. Yeah, we talked about that already. This is a great one. We love and hate the ones we need the most. Why is it we always are so hateful to the ones that we love? Is it because we know they're going to accept us anyway? Is that what it is? Interesting psychology, isn't it? The ones that we know will unconditionally love us, that's the ones sometimes we don't treat quite so well. And then it goes on to say, but all will be right one day. It all comes right, right? And it all comes right when you realize whatever's written on your heart, that's all that matters. You'll find a way to say it all someday. Whatever's written in your heart, that's all that matters, night and day. It doesn't go to sleep. This thing is working in through us subconsciously all the time. Yeah. So I hope I haven't scared anybody too much. I could tell a joke right now. Let's see. What could I tell? I don't know. I don't have any jokes right now. What's that?
I say the joke is hold on to your pocketbook.
What do you mean by that, my friend?
That's the opposite of what you're saying.
Oh, the opposite of what I'm saying. Oh, all right. You had me frightened for a minute there. Lock the doors. We've never done that before, but that would be fun, wouldn't it? Get the, yeah, for who? It'll be an interesting experiment, let's put it like that. But you know, unity doesn't do that. We're not into that business, right? We're not into that guilt and shame and all that. You're a bad person if you don't. We don't have that. So this is not about that. We have to appeal to the maturity within us and not to that child that is dependent within us, right? The child that says, nah, I don't trust them. This is not about them and us anymore. It's about what do I choose to be? Where's my dedication, right? That's what we're talking about. Because it's not about... Here's another thing. In all the 30 years I've been here, I've done some wonderful things. But I also carry some baggage. Can you believe it? Carry some baggage. Shock horror. We all do, folks. And, you know, part of all the storm and stress we've been through and everything, I still carry some of that. So it's there. And so here's the opportunity. With Paul gone, the baggage is gone too, right? Because what I'm carrying with me, the good and the bad, it's gone. So we get a chance to do it anew. And I don't mean that in a negative way that I'm, oh, look at his baggage, you know. Because some of my baggage is really beautiful. It's Louis Vuitton. And then some of my baggage is nasty. I mean, it's old post office sacks, you know. Ugh. But it doesn't matter. I got that one going on that one, yeah. Point is, everything's good. Everything's, you know, there's opportunities in everything, right? We get to reimagine it all over and over again. So let's finish with an affirmation. I need a palace revolution at 9:30 from the musicians because they said the affirmation was too long. And I said, you learn all this music. And then they said, no, we don't. It's all written out in big, bold letters. It's, you know, it's sad to go behind the curtain sometimes. I always thought, you know, well. So I'm going to say it all, and then we'll take it in bits, okay? In service to Spirit, I am now rededicated and reconsecrated, renewed and revitalized, filled with peace and possibility to do what is mine to do, and I cannot fail. I told you it was a long one. But we could take it in six easy parts, right? Here we go. In service to Spirit. I am now rededicated and reconsecrated. Renewed and revitalized. Filled with peace and possibility. To do what is mine to do. And I cannot fail. Amen. So we enter a time of meditation, which is simply a time to be still, to enter that silence and that stillness that is at the heart of who we are. From that deeper core, that heart of who we are in truth, that we receive wise information, new understanding. Our humanness is full of voices and thoughts, desires and demands. But our spirit is different. It is open, receptive, vast, expansive. It contains everything we could truly need. It's that aspect of us we contact in meditation. We let the incessant demands of our humanness rest for a while and return to that peaceful center. It's at that center where we feel these deep truths, where we know, where guidance flows. And each of us here knows what it means to contact that place. We've been on this planet long enough. What's important, though, is our willingness to commit more time and energy, focus in that spacious inner place of spirit. Let everything else fall away. So we could be completely in the flow of God's good. Both the faucet and the cup acknowledge in a greater source. So as we go into the silence, we ask ourselves, who am I in truth? What is my purpose? And how do I intend to fulfill it? Who am I? What is my purpose? And how do I intend to fulfill it? In the silence. So we feel that centered peacefulness in this space, which emanates from our own core, our own heart. And it's proof positive of that palpable presence of pure love that is the truth of us. Somehow, some way, as we move through our week, information will flow from that heart. It will guide us, give us the information we need to make decisions wisely, effectively. And for that, we give grateful thanks. And so it is.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.